Morning, everyone. I've got two readings for you. The first one is from the Old Testament, and it's Jeremiah 29. And in my NIV, it's on page 789 of my Bible. So it's Jeremiah 29, beginning at verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number and do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Our second reading is from Mark, because we're following the book of Mark, aren't we, at the moment? And we've come towards the end of chapter 3. Starting at verse 31, it's the section called Jesus' mother and brothers. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside. They're looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of God. Thank you so much. May we pray together. Father God, thank you for your presence here with us today. Thank you for your love. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to each of us this morning. We choose to open our hearts to you. Amen. On this Remembrance Sunday, I would like to start by reading a letter. It was written by Lance Corporal Frank Early, a young journalist from Derby, who regularly wrote to his family from the Western Front during the First World War. And his letters were normally full of enthusiasm and excitement. In July 1918, he wrote, "As you see, I'm still alive and well, and as usual, enjoying life to the full." You know, I think that's not something we would necessarily expect in a letter written from the Western Front. However, in this letter, dated Sunday afternoon, the 1st of September 1918, he revealed a more reflective side. "My dear Father, it is a strange feeling to me, but a very real one, that every letter now that I write home to you, or to the little sisters, may be the last that I shall write, or you read. I do not want you to think that I'm depressed. Indeed, on the contrary, I'm very cheerful. But out here, in odd moments, the realization comes to me of how close death is to us. A week ago, I was talking with a man, a Catholic from Preston, who'd been out here for nearly 4 years untouched.
He was looking forward with certainty to going on leave soon. And now he is dead, killed in a moment during our last advance. Well, it was God's will. I say this to you because I hope that you will realize, as I do, the possibility of the like happening to myself. I feel very glad myself that I can look the fact in the face without fear or misgiving, much as I hope to live through it all for your sakes and my little sister's. I'm quite prepared to give my life as so many have done before me. All I can do is put myself in God's hands for him to decide, and you and the little ones, pray for me. I hope that you will not move out of the old house yet. Write and let me know when anything happens. I see that you went to Preston a few days ago. It seems years and years since I tried to get drowned in the canal. Well, I have not much time left, and I must end. With my dear love, pray for me, your son, Frank. And the next day, Frank Early suffered a serious wound to his chest, and he died some hours later. He was 19 years old. And it's hard for us to imagine the horror that the soldiers faced in the trenches. Awful conditions, poor food, loud bombardments, hours and hours of boredom, punctuated by moments of sheer terror. And all that with the knowledge that every day might be their last. And many, many of those brave men paid the highest price for our freedom. Yet Frank Early writes with such a sense of composure. And just rereading that, I was very struck when he says, I feel very glad myself that I can look the fact of, you know, of his possible impending death in the face without fear or misgiving. You know, how many of us can say that? That we can prepare for death without fear or misgiving. How can he write like that? How can his letter exude such peace in the midst of the horror in which he was living? And I believe that the answer is to be found in his vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. And today, on this Remembrance Sunday, I want to think about this peace. Peace, not as the absence of war, but the peace of Christ that can enable us to face terrible circumstances with equanimity. And I'm sure that you will have recognized one of the verses in our reading from Jeremiah today. Verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It's the most wonderful, encouraging and uplifting verse. But it's so often sort of trotted out as a sort of precious promise verse in isolation from its context. But if we understand that context, the truth of these words is even more amazing. Verse 4 of Jeremiah 29 says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And the people who the Lord had good plans for had been defeated in the siege of Jerusalem, had been taken against their will to Babylon. They were living in enforced captivity, far from home and unable to return. Yet the Lord declares, I know the plans I have for you. And these are the plans of a perfect Father who is wonderfully good. These are the plans that brought Jesus to earth to live amongst us. These are the plans that took him to the cross that we might be forgiven and restored. These are the plans by which he rose again, defeating death, so that we might live his risen life with him. And whatever circumstances we are facing, we can have peace because we are safe. Safe in the love and the good purposes of our perfect Father in heaven. But many of us live in perpetual anxiety. You know, in the midst of all our concerns, small and great, how do we move from anxiety to peace? I would like to suggest three things. Don't focus on the circumstances, deal with the lies, and come into the presence of God. So first of all, don't focus on the circumstances, because what matters more than our circumstances is the way that we respond to them. And sometimes the Lord's plan for dealing with our circumstances is not at all what we would hope or expect. You know, the false prophets in Babylon were encouraging the exiles to rebel and forcibly to bring their captivity to an end. And in our particular pain-averse society, I think we often assume that we have to fight to change any uncomfortable situation as quickly as we can so that we can get out of it. But often the Lord says, wait. Wait for me to act. Wait for me to intervene. Wait for me to lift you out of that situation. Instead of rebelling against the rulers of Babylon, Jeremiah's message to the people was the exact opposite of what they expected. It wasn't try and get back to Jerusalem as quickly as you can. It was be patient and thrive in the land of your captivity. Verse 5, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters, increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And you know, I can't tell you how shocking it would have been for the Jews to read that. You know, they're used to the verse in Psalms where it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. And they're being told, pray for the peace of Babylon. Don't struggle to get back to Jerusalem immediately. Pray for the peace of Babylon, not the peace of Jerusalem, because you're going to be there for a little bit longer. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens. You are never going back to Jerusalem. Your children aren't going back to Jerusalem. Your children's children are not going back to Jerusalem. It's going to take 70 years. Just imagine that. Imagine that disconnect between what they hoped and what they expected and what the Lord's purposes were. You know, imagine being bound and carried away, captive to a foreign land, and the consequences of that. You're now subservient to an alien ruling class, to new laws and customs, some completely incompatible with your religion. And yet, the Lord says, learn to thrive in that situation. And when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, it's so easy only to see the restrictions, the restraints, the problems, to remember only what you've left behind, what you've lost, the promises that didn't come to pass. But in the Lord's purposes, there are times when what you think is destroying your life is actually the platform for the greatest promotion that the Lord has for you. But if we are overly mindful of what's not right in a situation, we begin to lose sight of the Lord's presence in the midst of our circumstances. And I don't mean that we should deny any pain or discomfort that we feel. We need to process our feelings openly and honestly before the Lord. But we mustn't be allowed, they mustn't be allowed to become our heart's focus in an unhealthy way. You have to discern this. But if the Lord has placed you in a situation, stop trying to fight him. Stop trying to get out of it at all costs. Instead, change the way you think about what's happening. Stop focusing on the restrictions and learn how to flourish within them. And the Lord says that whatever our circumstances, if we do these things his way, then we will increase and not diminish. We will thrive. Don't focus on the circumstances. Secondly, deal with the lies, because so much in our lives is determined by how we see God, how we see ourselves, and how we see the situations that we find ourselves in. And Satan wants us to doubt. He will try to trick you out of knowing who God is. He'll try and trick you out of knowing the good things that the Lord has for you, and what your identity is in Christ. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And we need to learn to guard what is going on in our internal world. Jeremiah wrote to the exiles, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. And the Lord speaks to us through dreams. But if we hold on to our own agendas and there's an unwillingness to yield to the purposes of the Lord, we become susceptible to being led astray. And that's exactly what was happening here. The exiles were determined that they needed to get back to Jerusalem, and they were struggling to see that that was not the Lord's purpose. And it doesn't matter what noble cause we have, we must never leave the Spirit of Christ to promote our own agenda. And Jeremiah talks about the dreams you encourage them to have, the dreams you encourage these prophets to have. And the dreams are presented as prophetic when they're not in fact from the Lord at all. They're the offspring of the people's own unyielded desires. Now, when it comes to dealing with the lies, you cannot have a garden with a key to the gate and invite the enemy in to plant weeds and then moan to the Lord about it. You have to take ownership of the gate of your heart. And in the midst of everything going on around us, we can walk with our hearts yielded to the purposes of the Lord. And it's really important you get this. I know in this passage, right at the very beginning, you know, the Lord says, I am the Lord who took you into captivity in Babylon. Now, that doesn't mean that God is the God of calamity. You know, God does not do terrible things to people to make them better in some esoteric way. Our God is absolutely loving. He's absolutely perfect. He doesn't create our struggles, but he is God for us in the midst of them. Our God is God for us in the midst of our struggles. So don't listen to the lies. Instead, ask the Lord to show you how he sees your circumstances. And we're just going to do something very quickly, if that's all right. I'm just going to ask the Lord to show you a circumstance that you're in at the moment in a moment of quiet. And then I'd like you to ask, just to say in your heart, Father, am I believing any lies about this situation? And then if the Lord reveals to you something, we'll just have an opportunity to say to the Lord, okay, Lord, I give you that lie. What truth do you give me in exchange? So that you can start living in the circumstances you're facing out of the Lord's truth rather than the things that Satan has said to you which aren't true. So may we do that. You might want to close your eyes. So, Father God, I just ask that you would show each of us here a situation that we're in the moment. And it may be a situation might just pop suddenly into your mind. And then, Father, I ask that you would show us, am I believing a lie about that situation? Just repeat that prayer in your heart. And again, if it's the Lord speaking, something may well pop into your mind, really even before you've had a chance to think. And if you know that you are believing a lie about a situation that you're facing, just say it now. Just pray in your heart. Just say, Father, I give you the lie. And tell the Lord what the lie is. And just say, what truth do you give me in exchange? And I'd encourage you, whenever you think then about that circumstance, you know, proclaim, declare that truth. Don't focus on the lie, declare the truth. Begin to live it out. Deal with the lies. And finally, come into the presence of the Lord. Now, although we may not be able to change our circumstances, we can always meet the Lord in the midst of whatever we may be facing. This is verse 12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And the Lord makes a covenantal promise here. I will be found by you. And this is something that Jesus echoes. He says, seek and you will find. And he will make sure, Jesus will make sure that he is in the middle of any road that you are walking down. You will not be able to miss him. John 14, 21 says, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. We have a God who wants to be discovered and known by his own. And our spiritual vitality as Christian hinges on us encountering him. The Bible is the living word of God. He speaks in it and through it. His voice brings us life and strength. And we need to take time to meet with the Father and rediscover the promise of the Lord to us. And the great promise of the Lord, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, came unexpectedly at the most difficult time to the exiles in Babylon. Now, you know, and this isn't about having a pet verse, you know, that you can trot out, but a face-to-face, heart-to-heart connection with the Father who fights for your welfare and contends for your blessing. And when you have all this stuff swirling around you, the Lord steps into the middle of the chaos and says, I want you to know that I'm thinking about you. I know you. I love you. I have good plans for you, for your welfare, for your prosperity. And it's the mercy of the Lord that whatever situation you face, whatever hellhole you're in right now, if you calm your heart and turn to the Lord, he will speak to you and bring a promise that is so opposite to your surroundings that it will literally stun you. And if you're struggling to know the presence of the Lord and to hear his voice, go back to what the Lord spoke to you last. Sometimes with the stuff of life, we get distracted and drop the things the Lord has given us, and we can't afford to do that. What has the Lord deposited in your heart for this season? Refuse to be distracted by the circumstances of life and choose to be occupied with the face of the one who loves you, who died for you. Then set your heart to seek the Lord again, because he says, I will be found by you. Now this is, it's a covenantal promise of the one who's more dependable than the rising of the sun. It's impossible to hunger after the Lord and not discover him. Now, in Mark chapter 3, which I was supposed to be focusing on this morning, but which I have digressed from slightly, the thing that really struck me about it is we have the best reason there for inner peace in all circumstances, because Jesus says that we are all his family. We are members of the family of the Prince of Peace. And Jesus clearly shows in this little bit that his family is not formed on the basis of natural kinship, but on the basis of our response to him. Jesus' natural family thought that Jesus was out of his mind, verse 21, so they went to take charge of him. But regardless of their laudable motivation to protect Jesus, this action actually reflected a rejection of his ministry. But the response of the crowd who sought his presence and gathered round him shows their acceptance of him. And Jesus says to them and to us, you are my family. So come into the presence of the Lord. Receive his peace in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your troubles. Now, our nation has not had much peace recently. You know, what with Brexit, what with COVID, you know, worries about climate change, you know, thinking about that a lot with COP26. And for many individuals and communities, there's been a huge negative impact from all of this. The world's peace is temporary. Mini breaks, massages and mindfulness. But the Lord's peace is eternal. And Jesus tells us that we don't need to be troubled and afraid. All shall be well. All manner of things shall be well. And in Jeremiah 29:7, the exiles were encouraged to pray for shalom, peace, well-being, completeness, wholeness, and prosperity. Now, I've mentioned prosperity a few times during the sermon, and it's in the passage a few times, which is why I've mentioned it. I was just thinking, if we were really to go to town on this, I probably should be wearing a white suit and need a radio mic, but at least I've got the catwalk, and, you know, that might be a better approach to it, but unfortunately, I got dressed in the wrong clothes today. But all these things, you know, the reason why we talk about peace and prosperity like this, you know, there are people who abuse that. You know, the prosperity gospel often departs from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But all these things in this passage, that well-being, that completeness, that peace, that prosperity, all those things are in the mind of the Lord for you. And that is true. And just because some people have taken that to an extreme does not stop the fact that that's what the Bible says. That the Lord has completeness, well-being, peace, prosperity for each of us. And that can be in every situation. These things are in the mind of the Lord for us in all the situations that we face. And it can be applied in the trenches of the First World War, the Holocaust of the Second, the worldwide COVID pandemic, sickness, the death of a loved one, indeed anything that we're facing. So don't focus on the circumstance, on the enemy that surrounds you, on what is not going right. We all know from experience that Satan attacks us in our thought realm. So deal with the lies. And finally, come into the presence of the Lord. Deliberately turn to Him, to face-to-face fellowship with the King of Kings, our Father. And we may not understand what's going on or why it's happening. We may not know the answer, but the Lord is there with you. You are on His mind and in His heart. His good intentions towards you have never changed. They're nothing but the best, even if we feel undeserving of them. Allow Him to restore you to a place of confidence and peace, a place of thriving in the midst of difficulty. And that's what I would like to pray now, just for each of us, that the Lord would draw us into thriving in the midst of difficulty. And I would leave that saying from Julian of Norwich, all things shall be well. We're very fortunate. We went to Norfolk for half term, and we went to visit the rebuild. Unfortunately, it was bombed during the Second World War. Her little hermitage was completely destroyed. But it's, you know, there's a chapel that's been rebuilt on the site. And so Bethy and I went there and we prayed there for a bit. You know, Julian of Norwich, you know, say all things shall be well. And when we're in difficult circumstances, that needs to be our heart approach to the things that we face. All things shall be well. If you want that in a little bit more modern language, you might want to go for, you know, God's got this. Because He has. May we pray. Father, thank You that You are here already by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Just thank You for the truth that in all the circumstances we face, all will be well. You, Lord God, have got it. And I just want to release peace right now in the midst of the circumstances that we face. Jesus, You say, peace I leave with You, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Do not let your heart be troubled. And if your heart is troubled, Lord, we just ask that You would help us to deal with the lies that we believe that are stronger than the truth that You have got it. If we feel fear, Lord, we choose to turn away from the lies that are bigger than the truth that all will be well in You. So, Father God, today we choose to turn our hearts to You.